Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Calston Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Council Keeper, or Game Master, as is known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vaughn's original recipe and the new Cool Ranch flavor. We all use he, him pronouns, and this week, one Vaughn's is going through a kitchen while the other is going through a corpse.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse is listening to the sound of scrape of claw on crystal.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the half-bleak wizard. We are currently melded with Sidroa, the goo monster, so we are known as Weldroa. We'll use any pronouns you want to throw at us. And yeah, it seems like things are going to get hot again.
If you think this podcast is hot, you should rate it on your podcast platform of choice. Boom, flawless segue. It helps people discover us. It makes us feel good. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. I'm sure you've heard them make the same request, and this is your chance to make a difference. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Yes, I would. So we went down the tunnel, finding the secondary crystal room thing. The Vonzen heard singing that was high-pitched and tinny and atonal like a children's song. We came out into the crystal room that looks wrong. It's all overgrown with more of that crystal, and there are like pulses of magic in the room. From like way across the room, Vaughn's saw what ended up being a prismal eye or an nanoculus, and Squirrela said that it's very bad for magic users. We split up to explore and try to find the on switch for this facility. Wealthy found some research looking at how much the crystal could be purified to increase the efficiency. That's the crystal, like, shot through the walls. The Vonzes found a living area. In the kitchen, there was a dead body and lots of blood, but also unspoiled honey. Cool Vons found his way into a barricaded room with a dead guy in some living quarters and some kind of journal, and also a pass card with this guy's face on it. And Jesse found a room with even more crystal growing all over the place, like glow-in-the-dark stars but evil, and heard the scrape of a claw on the crystal. And that is where we cliffhangered.
Yes. Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You have with you Alara, Scorello, and Green. And I suppose by virtue of having Green, you have Percy.
Mm-hmm.
All of you have frozen in place as you hear the scrape of claw on crystal. The hallway you're in is absolutely overgrown with crystal of a sickly, faintly green color, as mentioned, like a glow-in-the-dark star if it was evil. It doesn't have the same glow to it as the stuff on the outside, like those pulses. You can see them travel through it a little bit, but it's extremely faint.
Was I, like, experiencing the pulses in the other room?
I think Wealthy was the only one who really picked up on them.
Okay.
Once you were told about them, you can probably feel them. It's an uncomfortable, tingly sensation, but not to the point it's distracting, if that makes sense. Like, if you tune in, it's there, and it doesn't feel great. So, yes, you are experiencing them. But yeah, the crystal here is overgrown. It's covering all the surfaces, walls, ceiling, floor. It almost looks like a combination of if the crystal had flown, like, you know, surf off a beach and crashed against the walls, if certain parts of it had dripped down and, like, stalactites joining with stalagmites, except at strange angles across. So, presumably not gravity included, mm-hmm. or not gravity guided. And it's a little bit hard to stand on. Thankfully, there's enough ridges and furrows and such that you can get a grip, although past a certain point, running in here might get treacherous, although there's enough overgrowth that you're kind of ducking around and, you know, squeezing past things. So
last time you had, like, kind of described it as, like, almost a fractal crystal sort of a situation, but now are you saying that it's more like are you saying that this one is more like rock candy, or
yeah, this one's a little more
like
rock
stalactites.
Yeah, this one's a little more like stalactite, stalagmites, like cave erosion, albeit very strange. And, you know, with stuff that would be worn down normally. The big crystal core that's out in the main room has the fractal stuff growing off of it in strange directions. But this appears to be different, whether it's has been worn down by some force, whether it was made by something else, whether it just grows differently in here for some reason is hard to say.
Okay.
There wasn't a direct connection between this one and the core, but given that the no visible one when you came in, but it could have gone through the rock, which is hard to say for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, so you hear the scrape of claw and crystal, and I need you to make a wisdom check to peer through the crystalline overgrowth to see what's coming.
That's a 27 on a prime.
You do fantastic. All right. So you all were trying to move silently through here. Now that you've heard the threat, are you going to try to hide?
Yes. Yeah. How far, like, down the like, you said that there's, like, a lot of growth in this area of the crystals. Does that mean that, what sort of shape generally is the hallway taking? Like, when I picture a hallway, usually I picture just, like, a straight shot or, like, maybe a little bit of a curve.
It's a straight shot back. It's your pretty standard cut into the stone hallway.
Okay.
You're pretty sure there are rooms off to each side, but it looks like the crystal has at least, you know, covered the doors in a glaze, at least, you know, possibly cross open entrances, if not grown kind of thick.
Okay.
You think, given that you are big and strong and have a magical weapon especially, you could probably break through the crystal in some of these places.
Okay.
Like, if you need to line back or down the hallway, you might actually be able to.
Okay.
If you get up a good enough head of steam. Kind of like if you're breaking through, you know, thin boards nailed across an alleyway in an improbable configuration.
but, okay.
Yeah, so like it's hampering to movement and you're not sure what happens when this crystal starts breaking, but...
Okay.
Yeah, you're not stuck by any means. As far as places to hide, because the crystal grows out in strange ways, you can try to duck behind the crystal. You can take a quick glance around to see if there's any sort of still open passageway you can go through. That might be hidden under an overhang or something like that, so you didn't see it immediately. Or you can retreat back out into the main room, but if you did that at speed, you might make enough noise to attract the attention of the prismal eye outside.
Yeah, I think we'll try to just, like, hide in this hallway. I do want to draw Dad, is that you? So that I'm not, like, taken kind of unawares.
Yeah.
And I encourage everybody else to, like, draw their weapons if they have anything.
All right. At this point, make a dexterity check. You're not going to add your level because technically your conceal does only work outside. And this is just too strange a location for
the
limitation of that ability to not come up.
That's a dirty 20.
Okay. And then I need to roll for your compatriots. Holy ass.
No.
On the dice. Green got a 5. Alara got a 4.
Estrello
got a 4.
Oh, no.
They're pretty high level, but Green's also trying to... I guess I could see if Percy somehow saves the day with a crit. Nope. Also got a 5. Jesus Christ.
So there's a clattering from where they're hiding.
Yes. You do a pretty good job seeing a spot and stepping softly enough to kind of spin behind it, or, you know, slide behind it as you draw your sword very carefully.
Well, that's fine. I'll just get, I'll be able to flank it properly with everybody else drawing its attention.
Percy tried to jump up to the ceiling, which caused Green's armor to clank against the stalactite that Percy didn't account for. Alara, I think, sees Scarello kind of freezing and tries to grab him and drag him off to the side. And Scarello, you know, lets out a yelp and that causes them both to be seen.
Yep.
But you do see the creature.
Oh, good. What is it? Is it horrible? I bet it's horrible.
The creatures in this game have never been horrible. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's horrible. So, it's bipedal, so that's nice. The first thing you see is the source of the sound. It has two, it's like digitigrade, so it, you know, walks up on its toes. Think like a wolf or a cat with two long talons going off of each toe. Leading into basically long spindly legs with kind of a bigger sort of like thigh development area. And then almost unnaturally narrow hips and torso, and then it flares back, or like hips, and then it kind of flares back out into this creature that's just very tall. You would guess if it stood up straight, it would probably be like 8 feet tall, even bent a little bit over like it is. Looks like it kind of hunches is the way it normally stands. It's still hitting at least like 7 feet.
What is its like torso kind of vibe?
Someone who was like way emaciatedly skinny in the waist, but then broadening out to broad shoulders. So
like classic Dorito.
Yeah, probably not quite wide enough to hit classic Dorito. It is kind of unnaturally thin and spindly. And then it has long arms that end in three-fingered hands that also have claws that are 6 inches long and just feed directly out of the fingers. And then has a relatively not particularly long, not particularly short neck. And then it has a face. You think there's certainly a head shape. It has, it's roughly human, orc, etc., elf, etc., you know, skull shape. But the front is more or less flat, and you can see dots of light along the front. The rest of it, along the front of that surface, at least a dozen, it's hard to say from here. And the entire creature looks rough textured. It reminds you of smoky quartz. Like, the entire thing is just made of it. And, yeah, and it's stalking towards you, stalking towards the group.
So are you saying that it has dots of light instead of facial features?
Yes. There's some, like, crystalline facets and stuff on there, but they don't really form anything you would think of as a face. They don't resolve into anything that reminds you of any creature's face. But it does have dots of light, and as you look closely, you see some of them blink.
Okay.
Okay. And, well, you know, you got spotted. I think this might be the best way to run it. God help us all, roll initiative.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I got a 7.
Okay.
How is it going to be for there to be one PC and 5 things for you to run?
Still a better ratio than the last fight.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I predict that this one won't take 3 sessions to finish.
You don't give me any credit. It'll take 5. No.
Oh my god.
Green goes first. I think Green, in a narrow hallway, she's mounted. She's not very big, but I think she's worried she'll get in the way. What she does is Percy was on the ceiling, so she stays there, but rustles her lance out of its harness and basically points it at roughly head height for the creature if it charges and braces herself.
Okay.
Jesse, you're up. It's a long hallway. The creature is about 50 feet away from you.
I want to prepare an attack and hold it until it gets within range.
Okay. So you hold an attack. What does Scrollo do? Have a mage, I said. It'll be fun, I said. Scrollo makes a wisdom check, which he is famously bad at, and rolls a 3. Jesse, Scrollo looks at the group slyly and says, I have a plan. Do not fear us, we come in peace. Scrollo bellows.
Okay.
Down the hallway.
Why not?
Because he makes good choices.
I mean,
universally.
You're that high level of a wizard, I feel like you don't, your personality gets in the way. Probably a lot.
Especially if you're Squirrella.
Especially if you're Squirrella.
At least you didn't try to tell it to make an appointment.
My office hours are on Tuesdays.
Yes. He's not a grad student. He's a professor. My office hours are never. Talk to the TA. This is a research university. I didn't come to teach. Squirrella does also cast a spell that causes a shimmering shield to emerge in front of him.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
You would guess it's the shield spell.
Well, sure. Jessie doesn't know what any of this would be, but that's fine. She doesn't need to know. Is it just in front of Squirrello, or...?
It's just in front of Squirrello, but...
Okay.
He also managed to do it while yelling at a creature, so you'd guess it's probably a pretty basic spell.
Sure.
Okay, the creature goes. The creature starts running down the hallway and transitions to running on all fours.
Okay.
You hear that scrape again, and you see little fragments of crystal fly up around it as its claws scratch into it as it's running. But it closes the distance to, it closes 30 feet of the space. It took a second to get moving. And it is sinuously dodging around all of the outgrowth in its way, including at one point switching up to the ceiling briefly before dropping back down. But it can't go in a straight line, so it's slowed a little bit. All right, it's Alara's turn. Alara's gonna try to fucking punch it.
I support Alara so hard.
She runs up. She does punch it.
Okay.
You hear her say something along the lines of, son of a bitch. Because she is punching solid crystal. But you do hear some crunching that you're pretty sure is not her bones. So she seems to have done some damage.
Great.
All right. New round.
Ooh, I got a 10. It's the best you can do with that roll.
All right. Jesse, you're up first.
Shocking. So it's close enough to...
You can run in and hit it.
I could run in and hit it. I feel like I like that I'm not... Well, I guess if it's like engaged with Alara, probably it's not going to keep moving forward right now. So I guess I will go up and I just realized how wide is the hallway? Like
it's a little narrower than 10 feet. Alara can probably rotate slightly off to the side to give you space to work. You'll probably be doing the, I forget what it's called. I don't think it's actually called half sorting, but doing the thing where you like, you know, use a gloved hand to choke up on your weapon so you can use it in a smaller space. But you think you can manage to fight in there and fight next to her.
Okay. I guess I will go up and just attack it. Yeah.
All right. Roll an attack roll.
I rolled a 2, so I don't think that...
You don't. It's an awkward space. You accidentally catch your sword on one of the kind of drips of crystal. And while the crystal does... Of the hallway crystal... And while it does shatter, it messes up your momentum, and you aren't able to get a good hit in. All right, it's its turn. Alara and Jesse are closest, and Skrulla just yelled. So many people have worked to make themselves targets. It makes a dex check. It fails. That's interesting.
In like an interesting way? Like, did it get a 1?
It got a 1, which means I need to get my rulebook out, because I decided that for what it's trying to do, that means it's going to get hit in the face with a lance.
Wonderful.
Okay. Lance. Probably a light lance. Footnote 7. Double damage received from a charging mount. That's essentially letting the thing charge into it, so same difference. So it runs its face directly into Green's lance. Takes a little more damage. The lance has a metal tip, and you see sparks fly as it basically plows past it by main force before dropping back down. So it jumped up over you, ran across the ceiling, jumped down, and now it is going to try to grab Skrullo. Thank God, it rolls high enough, I don't have to look up the grapple rules. It grabs Skrullo.
No, not Skrullo.
A tragedy for us all. Yep, shield doesn't give a bonus to attacks. To grapple attacks. So, what confidence he had in his master plan shatters, and he says, unhand me! He is also being very loud.
Well, I mean, he does that.
Yes. Alright, so it ran up and grabbed him, but that's kind of its turn. That took a movement in action, shockingly enough. Green's up. Green has Percy just scuttle directly overhead of the guy, and just pokes it with the lance again. That's out. She doesn't want to take the time to switch. Her lance glances off, though, and appears to not do any damage.
Okay.
So yeah, you saw it was a solid hit, but this thing is also essentially solid rock, as far as you can tell. So, yeah, it's Skrullo's turn. Skrullo used struggle. It is not very effective, and he fails to escape. It's Alara's turn. Of course she rolls a 20. Why wouldn't she roll a 20?
Oh, she crits? That's amazing. Yes. I'm so happy.
She runs up and attempts to grapple the creature in such a way that it lets go of Skrullo. And I'm going to say she both manages it and turns it. You know what? This would be sick as hell. So that's exactly what she's doing. Okay. It has its arms wrapped around Skrullo. She goes up from behind, manages to hook her arms basically under it and put it in essentially a full Nelson to force its arms apart. Skrullo stumbles back. She grabs it around the waist. And then she reverse suplexes it because reverse suplexes are cool.
Fuck yeah.
It is now prone, and I'm going to have that do damage. You hear a crunch of crystal on crystal. And you also hear what sounds like from somewhat far off, coming from the creature, but it's kind of sounding like the sounds are coming from down a well. What sounds like about 11 screams of shock and pain at once in various voices.
Oh no!
But who cares? New round.
Well, that's amazingly horrible, and I'm here for it. That's an 8 for Jesse.
Jesse, you're up first.
I will attack it.
All right.
Probably doesn't matter, but in a sort of like chopping motion since it's prone.
I'm going to say it's prone. Take +5 to your attack.
Oh boy. I rolled a 12 plus 13 for two-handed. Dad, is that you? Is 25 plus 5 is 30.
You hit.
I feel like I really definitely hit. I would be very surprised. I would be very surprised if I did not hit. Okay. So that is, I rolled a 5 plus 3 is 8.
You go and you chop down. The creature makes a desperate grab and puts its hands, you know, and grabs your sword or catches it at least. So you don't get to make full contact with its torso, but you hit it with such force that, you know, its elbows slam back down into the ground as you do this, and you crunch some crystal off of it.
Great. Does it scream like 11 people again?
It's more of a pained gasp, like 9 this time.
Uh-oh.
Like 9? Hmm.
Some of the dots of light on its face flare brighter. Adam, roll a d20 for me and just tell me what you get.
9.
Okay, Jesse, the creature looks up at you, eyes wide, scrambles back, you know, hands and, well, not quite heels, but you know what I mean. Scrambles back on the ground, like up against the wall. And, Jesse, make an intelligence check.
Oh.
Your favorite thing, I know.
It's a 15 total.
Okay. And then actually also make a wisdom check.
That's a 16 on a prime.
Okay. So you don't understand all the languages that are being spoken. You do make out that there's a whole bunch of voices kind of saying different things emitting from this creature. But from at least a few of them, enough that it rises above the din of other things, including what you would guess are screams, panicked prayers, ramblings. We hear a couple of them say, "Rescue." So that's its turn.
Jesse. Oh, that was on its turn?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Its turn was scrambling back and saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood because it had just been Jesse's turn. And I thought that was still just flavor text. Jesse's going to be like, pin it in place.
Green goes and drops off the ceiling on Percy, who definitely flips over and lands next to you. And Green just plants her lance in its chest, like pinning it kind of up against the wall. Alara puts a boot down on one of its arms. And Skrilla kind of walks up and sort of mincingly puts his foot down on the other arm. But the creature doesn't seem to actively resist.
Great.
And at least for this moment, we're out of combat time.
Great. I think you should switch to someone else.
I mean, I guess. Personally. All right. Well, Droa.
Uh-huh. I figured it was me.
You were searching through a research area.
Uh-huh. As I do.
Labeled conveniently as Research Section 3.
Oh, okay.
You're pretty sure, based on a faded sign that you passed as you went in. Because why don't I just give you guys the names I have in my notes? It will make everyone's life easier. So you'd found notes about, you know, working to pull more efficiency out of the crystals and grow better ones, or, you know, purify the ones they have to work better. And you'd been digging through the space. You found a couple more bodies, but kind of not with the density of the hallway you came in at.
And remind me, are these kind of mummified bodies? Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least desiccated.
Okay. So there's not a lot of goo happening.
No. And from what you know about this space, this happened a long time ago. So.
Not that I should worry about goo. I am goo, so I don't.
You can be gooist against other goo. But yeah, so you can keep looking through here if you want. You kind of went for all the obvious spaces, but this is a pretty big area. You can keep digging. As you have this thought, what should I do next? You do hear from far off, faintly, Skrullo bellowing something about, you know, we come in peace, we mean you no harm. Something like that.
Oh, that doesn't sound great. Do I hear anything else after that?
I think you hear another bit of Skrullo talking, but that's it.
All right, I'm going to assume they have things under control since there's not a lot of fighting, but I am going to keep an ear out.
Okay.
But what if they need help? But
oh my god.
I'm going to keep looking, but I'm going to keep an ear out in case things sound like they need something. They need
All right.
help. I mean it's Green, Jesse, and Alara. And
Squirrello.
And the great Squirrello.
And the great Squirrello, who I don't really have a lot of faith in managing to, deal with an extreme combat situation. But the other three, I am confident in their ability. So I'm just going to let that go.
I mean, the other three at least understand how to do combat in a team. Mm-hmm. So at the very least, will be able to give clear and unambiguous instruction to the great Squirrello if it comes to that. Not like when the great Squirrello asked Vons what he should do in combat.
That worked out fantastically. I can't remember how it worked out, but it was great.
You didn't know what to do, so we gave up and cast explosive runes on your bolt.
Oh yeah, that thing's still floating around somewhere.
It is. I bet it's on the floor somewhere.
Didn't it work its way into the plumbing?
Hard to say.
It fell down into the water, and you never got to learn if a water elemental could read, and then y'all lost track of it. So
someone's going to have a real fun time flushing their toilet.
It's going to be interesting as they fix up that room.
Okay, so I'm going to, like I said, I trust in my compatriots, and if they need something from something magical from Skrullo, then they can get that from him. I probably wouldn't be able to get there in time anyway, so I'm going to continue searching.
Okay, roll an intelligence check.
Yeah, I haven't done any rolling yet. 25.
Okay, you do some damn good searching. So does Doof. So does May. We'll get back to Cog in a second. So you go and you're digging around. As you get deeper into it, so this research section doesn't have any signs of like the claw marks in the wall, like the exit hall when you came in.
Mm-hmm.
It is also just less wrecked than those hallways. Like there's barricades and stuff, but you notice there are fewer of them. And
so whoever came through here, I can assume wasn't looking for research.
It does look like there were struggles in a decent number of these rooms, but a lot of them just look like they got left in a hurry more than anything else.
Okay.
And then as you dig through the research notes, your background as a maintenance worker comes into play. You find what look to be documentation, plans, diagrams, that sort of thing, that you basically found the blueprints rather than the explicit instructions should they exist. But you figure out that it looks like they were tooling with some sort of magical barrier around that crystal core.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was to basically contain any magical leak, as it were. You know, anything that was coming off of it and exiting the crystal. Was there a way they could kind of
keep it all in one place and next to the crystal?
You know, put some magic on their magic to make it so the magic didn't get out.
Okay.
You would guess it's not working based on the pulsing of magic going through your body periodically.
Okay.
And lighting up the walls a little bit periodically. But other than that, it seems perfectly sound. You would guess, based on the notes, that there is probably a control for this somewhere. And that's about when May calls out. Well, May comes up to you because you guys are trying to be sneaky and leans into the room and whispers. Imagine a whisper, dear listener, because we used to not pick up on microphones very well. And we are nice to our editors here, or we try to be. And says, I think I found a hatch going downward.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Where'd you find it? As we go towards wherever she found the hatch.
At the back of the space, it's given where we are. I'm not sure it's like the main way. It might be kind of a back door in, but you saw the vents earlier. This place might just have a bunch of like maintenance tunnels built into it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go check it out.
Advantage. Okay, you got to check it out. That's when Juve kind of half saunters, half terrified sneaks. There are two personas inside of you, and one of them is terrified, and one of them is a bit of a performer. And kind of holds up a kind of intricate looking device and says, I found this. Don't know what it does, but it looked important.
Okay, let me look at it. So I take it from him.
Make an intelligence check.
Oh God, like I'm going to get a 20. 21.
You think that it has to do with some of the studies they were doing? You're kind of looking at it and trying to reverse engineering what it is without knowing what it is. But mm-hmm. It looks like it's designed to hold something small. You would guess a crystal and cut into or etch it very, very precisely. And it has like magnification lenses to help you do that. And someone basically built this thing as kind of a mechanical clockwork sort of thing to make it so it's so someone does not have to have the dexterity themselves, whether because it's a rare skill or because it's impossible given the level of detail they need. There's controls you can manipulate to do that etching or shaping. Okay. Based on what you know, you would think that this might be, it's either for fabricating the parts or it's for trying to improve their process further than it got.
Mm-hmm.
The other notes you had mentioned using magic to shape the crystals, but that they didn't feel like that would scale enough for what the city would need.
Okay, so this is really interesting, but I don't think, I mean, it looks more like on the scale of working with the magic. And right now we're trying to figure out what the magic does and how to turn it on. So let's go check out May's hatch.
All right.
Actually, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to listen and see whether is there any noise coming from the Jesse's direction.
You take a careful listen. That's when you hear, much closer than Jesse's direction, sort of a hollow boom sound.
Oh, Jesus.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, maybe we need to check this out. Does it sound like it's between me and between us and Jesse, or does it sound like...
You're pretty sure, based on the, that it's closer than Jesse.
Okay, then I'm going to go towards the boom sound.
All right.
And which I imagine is going to be Vaughn's.
You find Cog.
Oh, Cog!
It's a twist.
Are you okay?
Given that Cog is rolling on the ground, doing his level best to make his clothing stop being on fire.
Ah! Okay, so we go, like, we go over and get him off fire, get him, you know, pat him down, make sure that he's not on fire anymore.
Okay.
What happened?
It could have been bad.
It could have been. What happened? How'd you catch on fire?
I was trying to get in here. Gestures at the door. They booby trapped it. I thought I had it. Apparently it was built by someone who builds more traps than me. Shocker. And and then I hit that wall and then I fell down. And he kind of reaches up and pulls like a shard of stone out of his leather jerkin.
Uh-huh.
And there was shrapnel. And the door is open now, but it just made a ton of noise. And I don't know what that creature looks for, but I'm guessing it's noise.
Okay, yeah. Let me look at the shard. Does it have any crystal running through it?
No, you would guess it is from the...
From the door?
Either the door or the furniture.
Okay.
It looks like a bunch of stuff got blasted apart.
Okay.
Actually, make an intelligence check.
You're asking a lot, are you?
I am.
Oh, no. That's a 12.
All right. 12. It's weird, but it looks like the room behind it was not particularly damaged by this explosion.
And we're pretty sure that the explosion was just a booby trap. What kind of room does it look like? Does it look like the research room we just left, or does it look more like a living room or like a staff room or something like that?
You would guess it's a staff room, like a break room kind of thing. It's not kitted out full of research stuff. You do see, or I assume you go in and look around.
Yeah.
You do see some containers. It looks like they're labeled as being food containers that are basically organized on a counter and all of which look empty. There aren't any corpses in here. So that's a nice change. And you find on one of the stone walls, looks like someone started working on something in chalk, and make an intelligence check to make out what they were doing. It's a bunch of magical stuff, but reading someone else's magical formula is always a bit of a trick.
That's a nat one. Everything just went sliding down every time I made a roll.
I mean, I rolled 5 or below on like 4 d20 rolls in a row. So I feel you. All right. May and Cog will give it a shot.
So nat 1, that I'm not even going to bother.
Cog crits. Oh.
Amazing.
Wow.
Is Cog a magic user?
No, but Cog does maintenance.
I feel like we have not established Cog's bona fides.
I was mostly thinking that I technically class Cog as a rogue for kind of all the dealing with mechanical stuff.
Oh, okay. Traps, yeah, I guess I can see that.
Yeah, it does seem like a good base, and they technically have deciphered script, and then Cog has spent his entire life working with machines and stuff, and that run on magic to some extent. So I figure he knows a little, and he was doing the math to figure out, like, all the drops in the city, so.
He is, like, maybe, like, a level 0.5 wizard or something.
Yeah. He took some community college classes, essentially, would be my guess, as I panickedly backfill the fact that Cog can do this, because it makes sense to me, but I haven't actually said it all out loud before. But yeah, so Cog looks at it and goes, oh man, Professor Numbercrunch told me I should do more of this. Anyway.
You're pretty good at the math. I mean, I did that check on you, so you know, I believe in you.
Great, thanks. well, it looks like they were trying to figure out how to make this core thingy. Do you know about null magic?
Gnome magic?
Null.
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 N-U-L-L.
Null magic. No, I don't know anything about null magic.
Roll an intelligence check. You might know something about null magic.
Let's see. 3 plus 10 is 13 minus 2 is 11.
Why do you have a minus 2?
Because...
That is to your strength, dexterity, and constitution rolls, not your animals.
You told me it was my intelligence roll because...
That was when you had a concussion.
Oh, okay. Then it's 15.
From Sidroa getting smashed in the face.
And you've since gotten new bones, so I feel like you can't possibly have a concussion anymore.
Get a concussion, simply replace your body parts.
Bones are what causes concussions.
Yeah, but if you replace the bones that gave you the concussion, the bruise on your brain heals. Can heal better.
Yeah, but as far as we know, Sidroa doesn't have a brain. It's just goo.
I'm very intelligent, thank you.
I know you're very intelligent, obviously. It's just you don't really have a centralized nervous system.
Yeah, I figured it was a decentralized nervous system, just kind of nerves all over the place and synapses firing all across the every surface.
Centralized nervous system sounds like a tactical weakness.
You're not wrong about that. Anyway.
Anyway,
do I know anything about null magic?
You know that it's theoretical and theoretically impossible.
Okay.
Basically, anti-magic fields even aren't quite what this thing is talking about. This is talking about creating a pocket where there just isn't magic.
Certainly in this dimension, you're not allowed to do that. Although there are things that could be figured out. I mean, I've seen, the things I've seen, you just, I'm not ruling anything out. But so they were working on null magic?
Yeah, and I think they might have got it. I mean, not all the time, but like, this reminds me of the formulas used for the cores, you know, the big ones, like the one out there, and it would be like a verse, they wouldn't be permanent.
Okay.
And they were a little worried about it getting away, I think.
Oh.
There's some notes about, I think they were trying to figure out how it would interact with that shield thingy they were working on, that you've definitely mentioned to me in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. This shield thing, I tell you about it.
Yeah. So, well, that explains that set of formulas over there. So I think they might have figured out how to make it so it isn't just a burst of null magic that goes however far. Well, it'd still be pretty strong. But, I mean, I'm guessing they didn't put it into practice, but I think it would work.
I've got Cog here with me and May and who else?
And Juve.
Juve. Okay, I'm going to leave Cog here to copy down the formulas, because this seems like stuff that we really want to keep. We want to know about this stuff, so I want to check it out and work with Cog on it at some point in the future. Let's go ahead and get all that copied down. And then May and I, with Juve, are going to go and look at the hatch that May found.
All right.
I'll just be alone.
All right, we'll leave Juve here. I know that's not, but May's the one who knows where the hatch is.
Why are you leaving Juve? I'm confused.
Because Cog said that he'd be here all alone. Juve is there. I give Juve my dagger and say, you know, poke anybody who comes in who is, you don't know.
Thanks, dude. Do my best.
Does Juve not have his own weapons?
I don't think so.
Remember where you found Juve in the first place. Although, actually, is he back in his gear?
Can we just, like, make him be back in his gear?
All right, a time puzzle, I said. This won't get complicated, I said. I'm going to say that he borrowed enough stuff that he has some basic gear, at least, from everybody. So he has two daggers. He has a belt.
Okay.
All that good stuff. He got the swap out of that fucking robe.
That sounds good.
You know, he has his lockpick, so yeah, he definitely has his gear. Well, he has all but one of his lockpicks. Someone took the other one.
Wonder who that was.
May, is the hatch locked?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Then we'll leave you here, Juve. Keep an eye on, make sure Cog's pretty safe while he, just try and keep Cog safe while he copies everything down. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You got it.
Okay. May, let's go look at the hatch. Although, as we're walking down the corridor, I do want to listen out and see whether or not Jesse's, we've got to be closer now to Jesse than
you absolutely don't hear anything anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't hear anything.
Should I be worried about that?
That's
oh my God, you can please. I beg you, stop worrying about Jesse.
I'm not worried about Jesse per se. I'm just worried if I should be worried about the fact that there's no noise. Anyway. Okay.
May sees you get that far off look and gently pokes you with her.
Okay.
Hammer. Let's go find the hatch.
Let's go find the hatch.
You go find the hatch. Vaughns.
What up?
You were in a place I have called the barracks, because I'm original and come up with elaborate names. You were digging through the area. You found some honey.
Yeah.
You also found, well, cool Vaughns found a dead guy and a journal he couldn't quite read. And a key card and some miscellaneous pocket stuff.
How dead was the dead guy?
Very.
Are we talking like pliable or?
Oh no, everybody's like mummified at this point.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like either mummified or like just full on bones. Like we just, everything's so freaking so dead.
Kind
it's been
crunchy.
Very dead for a very long time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I believe the room he was in, the room was pretty, like at least a little bit wrecked. Looks like there might have been a struggle in there too. But yeah, no, the guy's been dead a while. And you did look at his journal, but you weren't quite able to read it because Cool Vaughns is still learning to read the alphabet in this world because it's confusing.
Yeah. It looks neat though.
Yeah.
He's working on his flashcards.
That's right.
Well, he's still at that point where like he feels like he can discern somebody's attitude from their writing, although not necessarily what they're saying. Like he's like looking at the shapes and the gaps and like how big the characters are written and stuff, and
yeah,
gleaning what he can. But
looks like this was all written in a fairly measured hand,
and he knows some words. Measured hand, you say? It's
like as in this was actually written slightly more carefully, like the last couple entries in this journal were written slightly more carefully than the other stuff.
Like they took their time.
Yeah, none of the entries are long, but yeah, like they took their time. And you were able to sound out some of it. There was an ah at the end.
But, oh, right.
A narratively improbable ah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best kind of ah. But you can take it to one of your compatriots you're traveling with, also known as Original Recipe Vaughns or Aramith, and try to get them to read it.
Yeah, I see Vaughns over there, and his paws are all like sticky with honey. I'm gonna take this over to Aramith.
He just ate the honey.
Well, he couldn't help but snack on it a little, I'm sure, but
no.
I don't imagine he's like eating the whole thing, but it's probably a little contaminated.
Still is pulling a Winnie the Pooh and kind of just dunking his hand in there. It was sealed when you got it, so
yeah,
you've ruined it now.
Yeah, that's not fit for consumption.
Or ingredient use.
That's probably fine for ingredient use. He does that with a lot of things. You don't want to know what gets into all of your potions.
They know. They don't want to know at this point. For some reason, all the ones that Lucky make taste better. Weird. Anyway, don't leave a film on your mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
You're welcome. All right. Aramis has kind of been watching the hallway.
Where do you think those hairs between your teeth came from?
Jesus Christ.
Fucking God damn it.
You know, there's always someone fatter. And he's learned to accept this. That was amazing. All right. So Aramith kind of sees you come over and says, what'd you find?
Well, it's, I mean, words. Have a look.
All right.
Oh, what is this, like, written on? Is this, did we establish this was a paper? Like, loose leaf?
It's a bound book paper. You would guess, based on some of the texture of the paper, it looks like maybe it was scraped free of its previous contents.
Ah, okay.
So
recycled.
Like someone recycled the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of on heavier parchment, so durable enough they can do that. Yeah, so she takes it and starts flipping through it. Well, it's a journal. You cherry piece that together. Looks like this person worked here. Name of
it
Jones.
Was working here interesting enough to write about?
I mean, a lot of us keep journals, but...
Was it that guy there?
She goes with you over the entrance of the room and says, I would assume so.
Huh.
Was he carrying an ID?
They're
kind of rare, but, you know, some people have them. Or
you know,
stitched in the back of his underwear.
Give this a look. I'll go check.
All right. Vaughn's rolling int check to shake down a body a second time.
Oh, you can just double click the 20. I got a 5.
All right. You're currently level 9.5.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really robust 9.
Yeah.
It's only 9, but it's thick.
Yeah. So, you have a plus 1 for int?
Girthy.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh. Ew.
Now she catches up. Okay.
I regret nothing.
I'm just glad I wasn't the only one saying that shit. All right. So yeah, that would be 5 plus 10. Yeah, so 15.
All right.
But you know what? We're going to take our time anyway because we have it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you want to make it, you know, good.
Yeah, it's going to be a real thorough... searching.
Uh-huh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Just trying to make it, you know, pleasant for your partner.
That's right. You do this to a dead corpse.
Really should be putting
wow.
on gloves if I had them. Do I have gloves?
You have gloves. It would make sense. I feel like Rogue would have gloves.
Yeah.
Occasionally touch surfaces that are covered in poison.
Because we're getting all up in there.
Yeah, so... You, I hate to say it, you go below the clothes this time, and, you do find this person was wearing a coat, and it's mostly tatters at this point, but you do find a name in the back, and it says first initial A and then Jones, or at least you're pretty sure that's what it says based on comparing what, you had Aramith show you at the front of the journal.
Like, sounding out the... characters.
Yeah.
Phonetically.
Yeah. Cool Vines is hooked on phonics. Yeah, so you sound it out and you think this is the guy.
Hmm. Yeah, you don't need grammar for that. Just gonna continue inspecting. Are there any other things? Items?
Nope.
Like, is this a particularly cool jacket? The instinct.
It's a perfectly average jacket.
Yeah. Well.
And you did find stuff on him last time. You found gold and silver pair of glasses and found some books in the room.
Oh, that's right.
Going to say this time you notice that his pen is really nice and still in good condition.
Oh, hey. But it's probably about as dry as he is.
Yeah, but it reminds you of like a fountain pen, something that can be refilled. So
yeah, I'll hold on to that. And right. Tries on the glasses.
Write down valuable pen on your sheet. The glasses, despite not being made for your face, you're able to adjust them and they fit amazingly well. They aren't in your prescription.
They make everything blurry.
Yeah. But they're good glasses. They make you look cool.
Well, you know, they are like 50% of a Superman disguise.
Yeah. Now no one will know you're cool, Fonz.
Like, if Superman's doing his disguise right, the glasses are like 20% of the disguise.
But yeah, so you get back over to Aramith, I assume?
Yeah.
You can try to toss the room again if you want. That's something you should find. You see evidence that this guy died of a, like, distinct trauma wound, essentially. It was hard to tell originally when you were trying to figure out how good that jacket was. It looks like something really tore up his right arm, and he probably bled out from that.
Is the right arm detached or torn off or something?
No, but a bunch of the, like...
Just really...
But whatever got in there got down to, like, the muscle, and you see what looks like an attempted tourniquet on the upper arm, but apparently it wasn't enough.
Hey, free tourniquet. What am I? I'm playing like other Vaughns here. This is...
You really are. Yeah. It's... you lost focus, my dude.
Yeah. Tourniquet is unusable.
Both of them have that urge to dive into a dumpster.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And like the freakiness of the situation, I guess I could see him maybe just sort of like losing all of his executive function, but...
And make one last intelligence check.
Yeah. Pew. I guess I would roll up to a 23.
You spot another one of those hidden hatches in the ceiling.
Gasp!
It's closed, but it is there. So, hatch up to the maintenance tunnels.
Does it unlatch from inside or outside?
If you do a hop and touch it, it slides back and a ladder comes down.
Ooh, neat! Secret hatch.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to go up there without telling somebody.
All right.
Hey, Aramie.
That's how we know you're cool, Vons.
Yeah.
Hey, Aramie, check it out. Found a hole. It's got a ladder.
Okay, that kind of hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also that guy. I don't know much about his character, though. I feel like calling him a hole off the bat is a little bit, like, short-sighted.
Looks like he was actually really tired of office politics, based on this.
Tired of office politics and bleeding from the look of it. He was probably pretty sick of bleeding.
Yeah, he was concerned that it was going to happen, as the last couple journal entries.
Really? What?
So, just to refresh the memory of listeners and presumably also the players, this room was barricaded originally when you came into it. And at least if I did my job, which I'm not sure I did. Anyway, so this room was barricaded. You were able to get through, but the journal talks about an invasive creature that came in and was siphoning magic off of the core and getting very aggressive towards anyone who tried to do anything about it. And by aggressive, he means died terribly. And then it started to wander the area occasionally because the core would ramp up, the core would ramp down. When it decided it was bored of waiting for the core to ramp back up so it could feed, it would go through the facility. And he says that, you know, at this point, people have given up on, or he's pretty sure people have just kind of barricaded themselves in and given up on fighting it directly. And they're hoping that one of the other facilities realizes that they have gone dark or that something weird is happening and will send rescue. But he's barricaded himself in here. And one of the other staff was essentially acting as a runner sneaking through the maintenance tunnels, but hasn't come by in a long time. So... he's pretty sure that they got taken out, and at least as of the last entry, he's definitely heard some violence going on in the hallways outside. So he says that, you know, I don't know when it will happen, but I have a feeling that thing is going to get in and kill me. So because I've always wanted to do this, I will end my journal with, ah.
Oh, thank fuck, there's a textual reason.
Uh-huh. And that's the last entry.
At least he had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
In the journal entries previous to that, he does give some details about the operation of the facility and where certain things are. So, for basically anyone who finds it. So you now know where the control room for that crystal core is, as well as the presence of the maintenance tunnels underneath it, and essentially which consoles do what.
Hmm. Is this the kind of thing you're good at, you think? Like,
I don't want to assume. Like, I feel like I'd be super jazzed to play with these super weird old computer kind of things. But,
I mean, it's not my forte, but I think with this, at least I could follow directions someone gave me if it needs to be coordinated.
Hmm.
Yeah, it looks like the startup sequence is in here. It's not easy, but could be done.
And these controlled the crystal core.
Giant crystal core in the center of the room, or in the center of the facility.
So we're like in the Springfield nuclear power plant here, pretending to be Homer,
I guess.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, like
oh, that's cultural from like my space. I know that that's like I'll educate you on The Simpsons going forward.
That just makes me like really want to know what sort of creatures The Simpsons are, and like what kind of creatures all of the different Simpsons, you know, recurring characters are.
They were all fox folk. I mean, yeah, I mean not all the character. The other characters were The Simpsons were fox folk. You know, it's that
the Simpsons family. Were fox folk.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like the neighbors were other kinds of people. And every time they had a guest star, like they'd have additional fingers. It was awkward. Like they were way more detailed than they needed to be.
Hard to do on a stage, but they managed it.
This is like Cool Vaughn's talking.
Yeah.
It was like actual animation.
I thought we were theorizing the crossover into this.
Oh, yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Shit, that's a whole other thing. Like, he would have to explain the concept of animation, wouldn't he?
It's probably a rough concept, but yeah, you'd have to explain it.
Sure, they had flip books before the arcs.
I was going to say, it would be understandable, but the scale would be confusing, essentially.
Yeah.
Flip books would be like the most expensive form of entertainment on the arcs.
Yeah. I bet there's some like flip corners of Frymeath's books.
I bet every book has something just so that they could get like as much as they could out of everything.
Maybe.
Or university students finally getting the chance to draw.
It's like how they'd illustrate anything that they couldn't get through video because of the lack of video.
Yeah. But you have to teach me about that. And it looks like he had some sort of magic crystal card thing. Looks like we need two of them to start this thing back up because it wasn't ready to run at full power.
I saw that movie.
You have one of them from last time.
Oh, right. Yeah. Feels around all over his multitude of pockets. Pulls out the wrong card and then the right card. Not even sure what the wrong card had on it. Probably like some punch cards for punch free nachos.
Yeah. Well, all right. That's
it's
one of
the
them.
Subway cards that still have like the little tickets that you used to have to like paste onto it. God, that was like so old. That was
he
forever.
Would hold on to that too. He would totally hold on to that from the other universe.
Yeah,
it's probably like it got wet before, and he probably been dried like twice.
Oh, it definitely got wet. You came into this world, through a portal in a lake, so yes, it's definitely got wet.
And you entered into a temple that you then had to swim out of. So, yeah. But all right, so I guess we keep searching?
Yeah, I want to know as much as I can before we try to power this thing on. Oh, like I said, there's also a hole. It goes up. There's a ladder. But considering the journal entry, I've got half a mind to just, like, barricade it.
I mean, we could just close it again.
With nails?
If we don't stay in that room, why would they come in?
Yeah. Well, he didn't exactly survive, did he? Of course, I guess he couldn't have left or entered through
I'm
there
really because... confused how there was a dead body in a barricaded room that died of mutilation.
Well, it probably got mutilated and then...
I believe when Vaughn's found the barricade, it was not completely intact. So
okay,
and he could have barricaded himself after getting wounded.
Yeah, could have gotten the injury going out and coming back.
Yeah, maybe it was a really sloppy barricade.
Yeah, or he came back into the ceiling, closed up behind himself.
Like, yeah, who goes down a ladder with one arm? That would be hard.
Better than hanging in a maintenance duct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people with one arm find a way to manage it, but that sounds challenging.
Yes.
Feel like you'd need to have some sort of harness.
Yeah. But all right, so cool, Vance. You found a thing. Do you want to try to take your search up into the maintenance tunnels, or do you want to try to finish kind of going through the main part of the barracks, or use the tunnels to go through the rest of the barracks and just keep poking your head down whenever you find a door?
Yeah, I feel like we do need to, like, 100% search of the barracks.
All right.
Getting into all them. I assume there's, like, foot lockers, and we've all played Dead Rising.
There's so many lockers full of crafting junk. You're going to get all the coffee cups.
Yeah, I don't expect to, like, actually... let's just collect it and put it into a pile in the middle of... It's a somewhat defensible area, although provably not entirely.
Yeah. Real quick, make a listen check for both characters. Dial or roll for Aramith.
Well, got a 6 and... Ooh, a 19. Second one's always new Vons, yeah.
Yeah. New Vons, you hear this more clearly. Old Vons, you hear something, and Aramith hears it more clearly. You hear the same yelling from Scorello that Wealthy heard about how he comes in peace, and you can do with that what you will.
Okay.
Basically, someone has made noise.
All right, yeah.
Shortly thereafter, far off, you hear a hollow thud.
OG Vons is actually going to get real paranoid from that.
A shocking twist.
Yeah. Yeah, well, especially, like, hearing a little less of it, it becomes even more mysterious. So, yeah, he's going to start, like, putting the barricades back up and running around the room looking for a hammer and nails and 2x4s or whatever. There's no way those exist here.
Okay, so you were across the hall in, like, a kitchen area. So do you want to, like, barricade the hallway that's leading into this part of the...
Oh, he would barricade the kitchen, wouldn't he?
Basically, you can barricade the hallway to barricade off the section as you know it so far, or you can try to barricade yourself in the kitchen.
Now, yeah. Yeah, he would barricade off the hallway.
Okay.
He would.
Original Recipe Vons starts barricading off the hallway. Cool Vons, are you going to continue your search with Aramith and just leave Original Recipe Vons to his antics, or?
OG Vons is going to start making some noises and stuff. That's going to be alerting enough. We're going to run out, check on him real quick, probably notice immediately that he's barricading the hallway. And yeah, he's going to help. Seems like a smart idea to kind of base up here real quick and see if that'll buy us some time to figure out this computer situation.
Well, the computer wasn't in here.
Oh.
They're in a different area. They're down in like the main area. Where the thing is. Where the prismal eye is floating around.
Hmm.
They did give, like, direction, like, this, there were, like, directions of, like, where to go to find that.
Yeah, you know where it is in the facility. You are not currently there, and you haven't fully explored the barracks area.
Okay, then. Yeah, no, New Vons is going to have a cooler head about this, recognize that that's a whole different section that the trouble is going down in. He's going to let Vons continue barricading, because at least that means somebody is on alert here and paying attention.
Okay.
Meanwhile, yeah, he's going to finish exploring the barracks, collecting supplies, and preparing to go to the deal with all that noise.
You finish collecting things in the barracks. As you start heading back there, far off from the main chamber, you hear that kind of discordant atonal singing again, and that's where we'll pick up next time.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh, yay! Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you just heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions and comments and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter at @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian. Thanks, Ian! Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
Hello, editor. I hope you're enjoying editing out the dead space.
Stop saying it, and we won't.
No. Only do it the once.